a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Presenters will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor Susan Carr from the Fort Pier Ministerial Association. Leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance will be Paige Landon Fanning from Kennebec.
On behalf of the Fort Pier Ministerium, I always want to thank you for this opportunity to share in prayer. I bring you these words from a disciple of Jesus, Philip Brooks, and he says, "Do not pray for an easy life. Pray to be stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you will be the miracle. And every day you shall wonder at yourself and the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." Let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, that we might listen to your still speaking voice. Open our hands that we might welcome one another and the stranger into our midst. Open our hearts that we might be filled with mercy and compassion. Open our eyes to see the needs of the weak, the poor, and the least. Open our minds to new ideas and fresh perspectives. Guide our feet that we may walk in your ways. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Boland, Kamak, Campbell, Carson, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Don Hager, Jenna Hager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Hawley, Heinemann, Heinert, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunahoff, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magstead, Mabe, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nelson, Norstrup, Olson, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Rumkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Shanefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalzer, Steele, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Vershiel, Werner, Wester, Wick, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Gosh. Mr. Speaker, our quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 11th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosh, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Is our doctor of the day here? There he is in the back, over from the Senate. His name is Dr. Martin Christensen from Mitchell. On behalf of Representatives Carson and Rosen, please welcome him for being here and helping us with our medical needs. Also in the gallery today, something near and dear to my heart, we have the 21st year of the Partners in Policymaking class. These are individuals from all corners of South Dakota and are disability advocates. The Leadership Empowerment Program is in its 21st year in South Dakota, and over 475 citizens have successfully completed the course. On behalf of myself, and particularly Representative Sly, please stand, folks, and be recognized for being here. Thank you very much. Finally, every legislative session, we have computer interns helping us out. They are invaluable. They are from Dakota State University. They are here for 2 weeks. They are keeping our computers up and running, making sure we can get on the Internet and we can print successfully. This year, on the House side, we've had Zachary Merrill, graduate of Riggs High School in Pierre, currently a DSU student, graduated in May. He has already been hired by the Bureau of Information and Technology, and we would like to thank Zach and recognize him for his outstanding service given to the 2013 South Dakota Legislature as a House Legislative Computer Intern. Thank you, Zach. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports that House Bill 1115 do pass, House Bill 1116 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, House Bill 1030 and 1113 do pass amended, and House Bill 1114 be deferred to the 41st legislative date. David Less, Chair. The Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports that House Bill 1126 do pass, House Bill 1125 and 1127 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Roger D. Solem, Chair. The Committee on Education respectfully reports that House Bill 1098 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1087 do pass as amended. Jacqueline Sly, Chair. The Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that House Bill 1097 do pass, House Bill 1073, 1096, and 1106 do pass, amended, and House Bill 1095 was tabled. Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith House Bills 1022, 1036, 1040, and 1044, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 23, 45, 48, 55, 61, 67, 68, 69, 70, 72, 86, and 88, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Lust moves that the reports of the standing committees on Ag and Natural Resources on House Bill 1017, on Transportation on House Bill 1118, on Appropriations on House Bill 1014, and on Local Government on House Bill 1082 of the House Journal be adopted.
Those in favor of the Lust motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1198, an act to allow certain opportunity scholarship recipients who graduate early to use the remainder of their scholarship award for graduate studies. House Bill 1200, an act to require a school board to conduct a public hearing on certain proposals which will obligate the school district for future payments. House Bill 1186, an act to remove a requirement that certain documents presented for driver's licensing purposes be copied and retained. House Bill 1190, an act to prohibit the state of South Dakota and its political subdivisions from adopting and developing United Nations-sponsored environmental and developmental policies that would infringe or restrict the private property rights of the owners of private property.
Speaker assigns House Bill 1186 to State Affairs, 1187 to Agriculture, 1188 to Health, 1189 to Taxation, 1190 to State Affairs, 1191 to Commerce, 1192 to Judiciary, 1193 to Taxation, 1194 to Commerce, 1195 Commerce, 1196 State Affairs, 1197 Transportation, 1198 Education, 1199 Health, 1200 Education, 1201 State Affairs, 1202 State Affairs, House Joint Resolution 1001 State Affairs, House Joint Resolution 1002 State Affairs. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 72, an act to revise certain provisions concerning inspections of food service establishments by the Department of Health. Senate Bill 86, an act to increase the minimum salary payable to county officials, states, attorneys, and sheriffs. Senate Bill 88, an act to authorize the county to deny bids on county sales of tax deed properties if the bidder is not current on property taxes due.
Speaker assigns Senate Bill 23 to Health, Senate Bill 45, Transportation, 48, Transportation, 55, State Affairs, 61, Commerce, 67, Commerce, 68, Health, 69, Health, 70, Judiciary, 72, Health, 86, Local Government, 88, Local Government. Consent calendar items.
House Bill 1028, an act to repeal the requirement that a minor be accompanied by an adult while hunting mourning doves. House Bill 1117, an act to revise the definition of a temporary special events lot for the purpose of vehicle dealer licensing. House Bill 1086, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the publication of certain records by cooperatives. Senate Bill 54, an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code. Senate Bill 46, an act to repeal certain outdated statutes and cross-references related to the Department of Health.
The consent calendar bills are now up for consideration. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, the question before the House is final passage of the consent calendar bills. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Hawks. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 70 yeas.
The consent calendar bills, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Seeing none, titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1075, an act to revise the membership of the Legislative Planning Committee.
House Bill 1075, having had its second readings up for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. House Bill 1075 is really a cleanup of last year's House Bill 1133, which established the Legislative Planning Committee, and it's a cleanup in the appointment process. And as we really looked at this and what the best process would be, I couldn't help but going back to my old mayor days, and when I would make an appointment, that individual needed to reside within the city limits of Brookings. If they moved outside of the city limits of Brookings, guess what? They were unappointed, and I reappointed somebody that lived within the city limits of Brookings. And this is essentially the exact same process that that we outline in this bill. If an individual that serves on the Legislative Planning Committee is not elected or reelected or not elected official, then they are reappointed by their respective chamber, which in the House would be the Speaker, and on the Senate would be the President Pro Tem. With that, Mr. Speaker, I'll stand by for any questions other than to say for those of you that were able to attend the report of the Legislative Planning Committee last week, it was great to see you. Those that did not make it, I know that I was able to put on your desk that report as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? House Bill 1075. Seeing no further remarks, the question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1075. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Cronin. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1075, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1108, an act to expand the application of certain open meetings provisions to certain committees of public boards.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lust.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we move House Bill 1108 to the bottom of today's calendar.
Is there a second? Those in favor of the Lust motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries.
House Bill 1091, an act to establish certain provisions regarding the labeling of motor fuel at a retail fuel pump.
House Bill 1091, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Early last year, 2012, the legality of 85-octane gas was put into question in western South Dakota. Due to an attorney general's opinion, and the conclusion was that gasoline with an anti-knock index rating of 85 octane may not be sold in South Dakota based on current statutes. However, there had been fuel sold in western South Dakota for the past 70 years at the 85 octane level. And the reason the 85 octane has been sold historically West River had to do with because of the elevation. In addition to that, the gasoline, 85 gasoline, is supplied by the Rocky Mountain refineries through the same pipelines to Montana, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho. So in June of 2012, an emergency rule was enacted that allowed 85-octane gasoline to be continued to sold in the western part of South Dakota while administrative rules review was conducted. The rules hearing was held, and it resulted in a new law in western South Dakota, which was enacted on October 2nd. And this rule required, as it is today, that 85-octane gasoline will be called subregular. And it also required a consumer information label, which contains the word subregular, subterm. This administrative rule expires on June 30th, 2013. So House Bill 1091 comes before us. The Department of Public Safety also had a bill which took this administrative rule and put it into law. The difference between the industry and the governor's office, and Department of Public Safety, excuse me, was on what to call the 85 octane. The governor and the Department of Public Safety wanted to make sure that we were good stewards to the citizens and let them know that this product may not be suitable for their vehicle's engine. Also, they wanted to do that by calling it subregular. That caused a problem with industry folks. It caused confusion with petroleum marketing agreements. And so we sat down and we worked out an agreement. We amended it in committee. The agreement basically states that the name will be called regular unleaded or unleaded is what 85 octane will be referred to in the western 9 counties of South Dakota. Then also there will be a label affixed next to the 85 octane sticker that reads a quote, may not be suitable for all engines, refer to your owner's manual before refueling. The changes have been agreed to by both parties. This needs to be passed so that we can continue the sale of 85 octane in western South Dakota. It is also a supply issue for the western part of the state, along as well as other states in the area that could pull off the same pipeline. And the remainder of the bill simply restates the existing administrative rules addresses documentation that is required to accompany fuel as it moves from pipeline to the transportation to the pump. I urge you to support this bill today, and thank you for your time, members of the House and Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, House Bill 1091. Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I serve on the Interim Rules Review Committee, and this matter came before our committee this summer. It was fraud. It was I'm adamantly opposed to this legislation and the compromise. 85 octane is indeed substandard gasoline. This is a compromise. This is giving in to big oil. As to the argument on supply, the pipeline suppliers were all in attendance at a huge hearing that was held in Pierre. They flew in. They said there was not a supply problem. The gasoline, 87 octane, could be shipped to the western part of South Dakota. So the supply issue is null and void. And if you look at your owner's manual, it does not say, any owner's manual, it does not say 87 octane recommended. It says 87 octane required. Big difference between recommended and required. So that is a misnomer. Also, 85 octane is legal west of the 102nd Meridian. That is also fictitious. There is no place in the state of South Dakota where the elevation is suitable for 85 octane gasoline. So I urge you to vote no. The Attorney General said selling 85 octane in the state of South Dakota is illegal. And it don't give in to big oil companies and vote for this bill just because it's a compromise. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? House Bill 1091. Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1091. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there is 64 yeas, 6 nays.
House Bill 1091, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1090, an act to exempt certain amateur sports coaches from sales tax.
House Bill 1090, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. I'm going to give you a little bit of history on how this bill came to my attention. The purpose of this bill is to exempt certain amateur sports coaches from sales tax. This is a constituent bill. Mitchell Baseball Association received a letter. Well, actually, they received a letter earlier saying you owe $10,000 in back taxes, which for a volunteer organization, think Legion and VFW Ball, was a pretty scary letter to get. And the department came back and said, okay, we won't make you pay the back taxes, but starting in 2013, you need to have a sales tax license. And this letter says, it has come to our attention that you are operating a business in South Dakota that requires a sales tax license. But according to our records, there is not a license in your name. South Dakota law requires every retailer or person engaging in business in the state of South Dakota to obtain a license. I'm here to say today that I don't think little kids baseball or teener ball or kids youth activities is a business. It's run by a bunch of volunteers that work very, very hard to bring to get these kids on the right track day in and day out. I'll give you a little bit of history on how this came about. In 1995, when then Governor Janklow had the property tax rework, he went in and just got rid of exemptions across the board. Well, from 1995 to 2005, I don't know what went on, but in 2005, the officials for kids' sports activities, amateur sporting activities, were exempted, and it took them until now, really. It's been rarely a rather recent discovery, from what I can ferret out, that there are teams out there, and they're calling the coaches a service. I'm going to tell you that the programs that are operated by volunteers and these coaches that are providing a service, their salary is paid via 1099. And if you've not met a payroll, I'll just quickly say a 1099 is when you, as the employee, get your checks and nothing's taken out on your behalf. So when you file your taxes, you owe both sides of the employment tax. If you are a W-2 paid employee, your employer pulls out 7.65% of your money to pay Social Security and Medicare, and then your employer pays the other half. When you receive it via 1099, you pay both sides of it. So you're paying 15.3% when you file your taxes. If you owe income tax on that, you will pay income tax over and above that. What we're saying is you now owe 6% sales tax, 4% state, generally 2% city, on top of that. So in effect, before you've even paid your income tax, you're at 21.3%. The way the law is written, all of these coaches should actually have their own sales tax license. But the Department of Revenue said, no, that probably isn't going to work out so well. I mean, we're talking high school kids and college kids typically don't return. So the turnover is in excess of 50%. So I would say there's, and I think Department of Revenue agrees with me, trying to set up a payroll service or pay for a payroll service to collect the W-2 forms, pay the W-2s, file the taxes is not a reasonable or common sense thought. And it's costly. Because we're talking little kids' ball. These programs are typically sponsored by American Legion, VFW, those sorts of things, those sorts of programs. I'm going to cover, hold on a second. Sales and use tax has a way of finding its way down to either the sponsoring group, the American Legion, or down to the youth or the kids. Now, you might say, well, the kids' parents are paying the bill. I know in Mitchell this would cost between $25 and $30 per kid to cover the sales tax for the organization. So I'm not sure I have a hard time thinking that the intent originally was to tax kids' sports. These organizations aren't run for profit. They're not a business. You can't really confuse them, to my way of thinking, with an attorney who's offering his services to you or a nutritionist or a bodybuilder. So the department, even though they have the tax and statute, which I give it to them, they got to go after it. They can't change it. It's up to us. And I think we just have to remember that this is a service provided for the kids. It's not always easy to find the coaches, and I'm hoping that you'll hear from some of amongst you that work with kids and know that you don't work for very much money. So I would ask you to consider
time.
This.
Carson Yule.
Toledo. Thank you. I would ask you to consider this and really think hard about the fact that these are the people who are working hard for our youth to keep them in line, help them make their good decisions down the road. And I just don't look at taxing income as taxing a service and charging these folks 21.3%. Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment. Would it be appropriate to present that at this time?
Yes, it would be. Is that 1090 FB?
That is.
Has it been distributed?
It has.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
You may talk to the amendment.
Thank you. I worked with the Department of Revenue. I asked them what their criteria is currently for how they determine who officials are. So we sat and worked through this, and what we came up with their help, is the amendment that you see before you. And the purpose of that amendment is to clarify that amateur sporting events means competitive physical activity, so it cannot be confused with the myriad of other items that the department brought to our attention while we were in tax. So I'm feeling comfortable with the fact that they worked with me on this, and I would ask you to please approve that amendment to add onto this bill. to exempt coaches from sales tax, sales and use tax. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. We are on the amendment 1090FB. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, this will be a voice vote. Those in favor of amendment 1090FB will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
That motion carries. We are back on 1090 as amended. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1090 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Hawks and Holly. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 53 yeas, 17 nays.
House Bill 1090, having received a majority vote of the members elect, as amended, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1033, an act to authorize the Department of Social Services to dismantle, demolish, preserve, or rehabilitate buildings on the Human Services Center campus in Yankton, South Dakota, to make an appropriation, therefore, and to declare an emergency.
House Bill 1033, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, today I bring you House Bill 1033 from the Appropriations Committee. This bill is a part of the governor's budget. It authorizes the expenditure of $6 million. This money will be used to demolish, dispose of, and also rehabilitate and preserve some of the buildings on the Yankton campus of the Human Services Center. I'd like to say right off the bat, again, we're not going to try to demolish everything. Again, it's for dual purposes. A number of the buildings we're going to be trying to demolish contain asbestos. Of course, that's a known carcinogen, so that's going to have to be handled in a very careful manner. Also, a number of these buildings are made of quartzite. And if you live in eastern South Dakota, if you're down in the Sioux Falls area, you know that this was one of the most basic of building materials when early European settlers first came to this particular area. So the demolition of these buildings is a major project requiring the $6 million. In the testimony we heard in committee from the administration, the Bureau of Administration, 80 to 85% of the $6 million will be used for the demolition and disposal of the remains of these buildings. Between 15 and 20% will be used for the renovation and preservation of some of the structures, in particular three, those being the calf barn, the Burbank building, and the security treatment unit, which are in better shape than some of the other facilities and have architectural and historical significance. Now, the condition of these buildings, and again, I'm pretty much reiterating what the governor told us in his budget address in early December, the condition of a number of these buildings, fellow members, is an embarrassment and a disgrace to the state. This is an issue that needs to be resolved at this time. The governor and his staff have toured these buildings in 2012, and they have determined that some of these need to be preserved, whereas others need to be demolished. Again, I am not going to reiterate that on a continual basis. This bill came out of the Appropriations Committee on a 9 to 0 vote. The land at the Human Services Center is an asset. These buildings are a liability. And in keeping with the governor's effort to be good stewards, that was his theme in his budget address, it's time to move ahead. Let's remove those buildings that are a liability. At the same time, let's preserve and renovate some of the buildings that can be an asset, and let's also preserve the land as an asset as well. There's an emergency clause attached to this bill. They would like this project to begin in the early spring, as soon as it becomes possible to get this started. Strongly urge you to support this bill. Thank you very much for your support. House Bill 1033, again, coming from Appropriations on a unanimous vote.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Stevens.
Mr. Speaker and the rest of the legislators, this is a project that's in my district and Representative Hunoff's. And I say I've had an opportunity to be out there and look at those buildings myself several times, and really something needs to be done. It should have been done actually 20 years ago. And I really think that this is really a good thing that the governor is doing, is tackling this problem. And so I would ask that you support this bill.
Any further remarks? House Bill 1033. Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the bill also. It's a project long overdue. And one thing I just might add, I think the bill sponsor laid it off very well. One thing I might add, there's a major renovation project going on there in the Mead Building, the most amazing building there. It's got a big marble staircase that came from Italy, and it's just an amazing building. And that is being restored as a museum. Sizable private contributions from the Yankton community and some really great support from the Dugard administration. So that's moving forward. And several times through the years, there have been other efforts to try to restore some of these buildings. Usually the previous administrations couldn't quite decide how that should all work, so they always kind of ended in failure. And this time, the administration has assured me that even the buildings on the demolition list, and if you're a preservationist, and if you read the letter from the preservationist today, you might want to remember this, even the buildings on the demolition list, if there's somebody that wants to come forward, and they'll have time because this is like a three-year project, come forward now and show us your plan. And the governor said he would welcome it because I sense he may not want me to call him this, but I think the Governor Dugard is a preservationist. And he's wants to preserve one of those amazing dairy buildings. There's two really unbelievable dairy barns out there. Both are in disrepair. He wants to restore one of them and one other building along with the Mead Building, so that would be three on the campus. And possibly others, if somebody steps forward soon. I've talked to a developer in Rapid City who says he would like to come out and take a look at them. So there's still some hope for preservation, if that's your interest. But it's time to kind of fish or cut bait. That's where we're at here. It's been 25 years, and I applaud the administration for doing this, and I hope we can preserve more than just the buildings that are on the list, but now's the time to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? House Bill 1033. Seeing no further remarks. Possibly no further remarks. Representative Olson, do you have some remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I do. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question, please.
I understand that it's going to cost $6 million to demolish these buildings and bury them. The asbestos that's figured in there, is that going to be treated separately? And if it is, why? I understand asbestos comes from the ground, and can't we just bury it along with the rest?
Representative Olson, you asked a question of the sponsor. Do you mean the person who presented the bill? Okay, Representative Bolin, would you like to answer that question?
I would, Mr. Speaker. Yes, asbestos does come from the ground, but there are certain federal rules and regulations, I think, that we're all aware of in the disposal of this known carcinogen. Therefore, there will be special treatment. To the best of my knowledge, there will be special treatment and special care taken for this particular substance so that it will be removed from the premises and not buried with the rest of the rubble in the tunnels and other things that are underneath some of these buildings. That's the best answer I can give you. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Olson, you still have the floor. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, the question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1033. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote. Yeah, I apologize. This will be a two-thirds vote for both the appropriation and the emergency clause. This will be a two-thirds vote.
Killer both sides.
Fox votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas.
House Bill 1033, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1038, an act to make an appropriation to reimburse certain family physicians, dentists, and physician assistants who have complied with the requirements of the Recruitment Assistance Program.
House Bill 1038, having had its second read, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Mickelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. This is a bill that comes before this body every year. It's an appropriation for $208,800. It's to reimburse physician assistants, physicians, and dentists that communities with 10,000 people and under recruit to their communities. The community is required to match the program. And I recommend you support this general appropriation. Again, this is something that you do every year. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1038. This will also be a two-thirds vote for the appropriation measure. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Keller votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1038, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1050, an act to make an appropriation for costs related to the suppression of mountain pine beetles to establish a cost-share program with the counties in the state and to declare an emergency.
House Bill 1050, having had its second read, is up for consideration. Final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Romkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I rise in support of House Bill 1050. As I speak, we are undergoing an unprecedented infestation of these nasty little pine beetles in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Approximately 500,000 acres of the 1.5 million acres of the Black Hills has received some type of infestation. This has an economic impact to the tune of approximately $1 billion, $1 billion with a B, to the tourism industry and is threatening the sawmill industry. To the bill, this bill dedicates $2 million for new expenses related to the suppression of mountain pine beetles. It establishes a cost-share program with the counties, similar to existing cost-share program with other agencies, cooperators, and private landowners. The South Dakota Department of Agriculture will administer the program. The bill will provide funding for counties with serious mountain pine beetle infestations. These funds will allow for participating counties to implement projects that will complement current programs currently administered by the state. Again, this bill appropriates $2 million as a cost-share program to the counties. It will not exceed $2 for every dollar that's expended, and no individual county will receive more than 55% of the total general funds. As I live near Spearfish Canyon, the walls of that canyon, or the above the canyon, are currently infested. I would hate to see that particular roadway be infested. I think it would be a tragedy for this state. I urge your support of House Bill 1050. It came through House Appropriations with a 9-0 vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? House Bill 1050. Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd particularly like to address my remarks to our brethren that live in the eastern part of the state and let you know how not only important, I know you realize how important the tourism income is to the state and to you as far as tax collections, But I'd also like to remind you that you have a threat approaching the eastern borders of the state in the Emerald Pine Borer. And you help us on the Mountain Pine Beetle, and we'll be more than happy to help you on the Emerald Borer. So thank you very much.
Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1050. This will also be a two-thirds vote for the appropriation and the emergency clause. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Latterell and Olson. Betty votes aye. Betty Olson votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1050, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1069, an act to increase the administrative assessment fee for the guarantee fund.
House Bill 1069, having had its second reading, is up for consideration. Final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House. House Bill 1069 deals with the South Dakota Property and Casualty Guarantee Fund. And before I get into the meat and potatoes of what this bill does, many of you don't know what the guarantee fund is. It's basically a fund that pays claims for the insureds if there's no other coverage and the insurance company has become insolvent. Most don't hear about this guarantee fund because it does its job so well. The fund itself has a volunteer board and oversight is by the Division of Insurance. It basically works like an insurance company. If an insurance company becomes insolvent for some reason or another, and you happen to have coverage with that company but have a pending claim, and they all of a sudden become insolvent, the insurance company is then taken over by the guarantee fund, and they process that claim. You paid a premium, the company goes belly up, you submit a claim, they go insolvent. It will be taken care of under what we've set up here, the guarantee fund. There are three major funds in this. One is the general liability, one is for work comp, and one is for auto. Then there is a fourth little fund, and that's where we get into the bill here. That is for administrative expenses. That is for handling of the claims. Current law allows for the guarantee fund to assess up to $150 a year for the administrative expenses. This has been in place since the inception of this. Obviously, due to inflation, the administrative costs have risen. With the cap at 150, the fund has had to borrow money from one of the other three to cover expenses while implementing the coverages that this statute requires. So what they're asking for in this bill is to raise the cap to a fee of up to $500. And this will be able to provide them the dollars to successfully administrate this program. This is a program that's protective of the consumer should there be a company become insolvent. It's a good program, and this addition to the fund is needed. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? House Bill 1069. Seeing no further remarks, question before the House, final passage of House Bill 1069. This will also be a two-thirds vote for new monies collected at state compulsion not deposited in the general fund. A two-thirds vote. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Feinstein votes aye. Representative Greenfield. Representative Greenfield. Greenfield votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 65 yeas, 5 nays.
House Bill 1069, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1108 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1108 has had its second reading. It's up for consideration final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker, I would move we move House Bill 1108 to the 13th legislative day.
Those in favor of the less motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Second reading of Senate bills.
Representative Less moves that Senate Bill 37 and 26 be deferred to Monday, January 28th, the 13th legislative day.
Those in favor of the Less motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Speaker has a few acts to sign. Speaker signs an act to repeal certain outdated programs related to the Department of Human Services. Speaker signs an act to prohibit retention of certain administration costs for untimely 911 surcharge remittances. Speaker signs an act to authorize the Department of Revenue to provide lists of licensed boat dealers. Speaker signs an act to revise certain provisions regarding the practice of optometry. Announcements. Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appropriations will start at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. We're going to hear from the Board of Regents. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy will meet Monday morning at 10 a.m. sharp. Thank you.
Further announcements. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet Monday morning at 10 a.m. in room 413. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements. Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education will meet on Monday, 7:45.
Further announcements. Representative Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Not to be repetitive, but I just want to remind everyone that our Attorney General invitation to the open house is this coming Tuesday, January 29th, 7 to 9. So if you would like to bring your favorite marksmanship tool along to use that evening, please do so. Remember, no ammunition. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And just a reminder, if you have bills out there circulating, get them to LRC by 5 p.m. today. Any further announcements? Seeing none, Representative Steele. Those in favor of adjourning will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.